Thank you for listening to this sermon from Axe Christian Church. We hope you are blessed by the following message.
So I want to share a word of encouragement this morning that I pray would help you as we conclude 2019 and embrace 2020, that we can be hopeful for greater things because we serve a true and a living God. Some of us might look over our shoulder and reflect and look at 2019 and say, well, Pastor, not everything has gone my way. Not everything has worked to my advantage. I've had some ups and I've had some downs, maybe more downs than ups. But we don't have to embrace being a victim, but we can embrace being victors, overcomers. Maybe your health has come under attack, your finances have come under attack, your marriage has come under attack. Maybe your job has come under attack, your well-being, whatever it might have been. But I want you to know there's hope in Christ. And God is here to bring healing, hope, and is able to point us in the path that He has in store for us. And I am hopeful for great things in 2020. Amen. I do believe even before this year is over, God's going to cause miracles to happen. Before we even conclude this year, there's going to be a shift and a change in the atmosphere. Amen. So my message is entitled, Who's Been Sitting on My Chair? Have you heard that statement before? Yeah. Who's been sitting in my chair? Who's been sitting on my chair? Well, I'll explain why I've entitled my sermon, Who's Been Sitting on My Chair? You see, the Bible says that, I think it's in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, somewhere, I think it's the 5th or 6th verse, that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. What does that mean? It means that God has made a space available for us with Christ in heavenly places, meaning we have the seat of authority with Jesus. Just as much as Jesus died for us, Jesus was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. He died for our sins to redeem us back to the Father. When Jesus occupied His seat of authority, God said, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, you have access to the same seat of authority as was given Christ. Isn't that powerful? So every one of us that are seated here today have been given a seat of authority. Now God has given us authority over the works of darkness. He says, take that authority, have power and dominion over the things of the earth, which means that as children of God, we have Christ inside of us, we have power, we have authority, and the ability to rule and reign here on earth as victorious beings, not as victims, not as defeated beings. Amen. So God has given us authority, but in the life that we live, we often say, yeah, we have authority, but how is it that I go through stuff? How is it that sometimes that attack come against my life? How is it sometimes that my family comes under attack, my finances come under attack, my marriage comes under attack, my body comes under attack? If you are saying that we are seated with God in heavenly places, we are seated with Christ, we have that authority, but how is it sometimes that we come under attack? And I will share with you today the reasons why we come under attack, and it's not because God has taken away our authority. It's often because we've relinquished or given our authority away. And it's time that we take back what the devil has stolen. Now, you may have heard the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Do you remember that? Some of you have never read children's stories before. But I remember many years ago reading a story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and it goes like this for some of you that don't know it. There was a story of three bears, and then the storybook portrayed them as a family, a papa bear, a mama bear, and a baby bear. And they lived in a quaint little house in the middle of the forest in a peaceful environment, and because they were bears, they were afraid of nothing. They always believed everything was going to be fine, and they enjoyed life. It was a happy household like some of our homes. And Mama Bear one day gets up and she says, I'm going to make porridge for my family, which she did. But as she was preparing the porridge, she realized it was too hot to consume at that moment in time. And Papa Bear says, okay, just to allow for the porridge to cool down, let's take a walk in the forest. Let's go have a look around. Let's go and explore. And when we get back, the porridge will be cool enough. So they got out of their house, closed the door behind them, and walked into the forest. And as like many of us, when we go for a stroll, sometimes we get distracted. Like most of you, when you go to the shopping mall, you go with a grocery list, and you have intentions of going there to buy certain things and to get out as quickly as possible, but it becomes a 3- and 4-hour trip, and you've had your lunch and your supper, you've shopped for more things than was on your shopping list, you get distracted. Am I right? Especially around this time of the year. We get distracted. So the three bears went into the forest, they were distracted, and before you know it, they got lost in time, and they took the long route. And while they were busy in the forest, a little girl by the name of Goldilocks, a very naughty girl by the name of Goldilocks, happened to be walking in the forest. She catches the aroma of the sweet-smelling porridge in the air. And she followed her nose, and she finds herself in front of this quaint little house. She looks through the window, and she sees three bowls of porridge on the table, and she decides, I'm going to have some of that. So she might have initially thought of breaking through the window, but she realized the door was open. So she gets in, she tastes the porridge, and she finds baby bear's porridge was the coolest. She ate it all. After her tummy was full, she said, let me chill a little bit. She went and she found the three chairs there. She sat in the father's chair, just too hard. Mother's chair was too soft. Baby bear's chair was just right. But because she was big, she broke the chair. Fell to the ground. She gets up and she says, this is not going to do. I need to rest. She goes into the bedrooms and she finds the most comfortable bed, which was baby bear's bed. She lies on it and she falls asleep. She was nice and cozy and comfortable in the bear family's home. The bears arrive, realize the house has been invaded, porridge has been eaten, chair's been broken, and there's somebody sleeping in the bedroom. She wakes up startled, jumps out the window and runs away. That's the story of Goldilocks and the three bears. Why am I sharing the story with you today? Is to get an understanding of how we allow our doors to be opened without realizing it at times. Like the bear family, they thought everything was fine. They took life for granted. They thought they were okay. Nobody would invade their home. They left their home unlocked. How often do we unlock our doors, our spiritual doors? How often do we allow for demonic attack in our lives without even realizing it? We think we have it all together. We think we attend church, we pray, we read the Bible, and everything's fine and dandy, and we think that we're immune to the attack of Satan. But there are things that we might be doing that could be opening doors for attack. The bears in this case left their door unlocked. They were ignorant to the craftiness of Goldilocks. We too at times become ignorant to the craftiness of Satan. And what do? We let our guard down. They took things for granted. And how often we take things for granted because we think every day is the same old, it's going to be the same as yesterday. They went off too far, probably got distracted. And how often in our Christian faith we get distracted. Distracted from reading the Word of God. Distracted from praying. Sometimes we pick up the Bible to read, somebody knocks on the door, we put the Bible down. When they're gone, we pick up the Bible to read, the phone rings, we answer the call. We put the phone down, we pick up the Bible to read, a WhatsApp message comes through, beep, beep, then we want to check the message. Then we realize it's time for our favorite soapy. We put the Bible down, and at the end of the evening, we realize we've gone through the day, all we've done is pick the Bible up, put it back down, and we've allowed the distractions of life to distract us from doing what is important, feeding ourselves with the Word of God. And that's us. The enemy is crafty, and he will find ways to distract us. But God wants to keep us focused. You see, we often intentionally and sometimes unintentionally leave spiritual doors open. What takes place in our mind, our thoughts, what we think, what we believe, the way we judge situations and people, the negative thoughts that we have against people are all spiritual doors that we open when we allow these things to overwhelm us. Our thoughts, what we conceive in our mind, could be demonic, could be opportunities for demonic attack. We open doors when we confess negative things, when we entertain gossip and slander, when we speak negative things all the time over our lives, over our family, over our children, over our marriage, over our finances, over the economy, over our country. We constantly speak bad things. Instead of being hopeful and expectant for greater things, we start to become very negative and pessimistic. We open doors when we live a life of sin. The Bible speaks about the different kinds of sin that we fall prey to every day. Sin of pride, when we think so highly of ourselves that we fail to humble ourselves and seek guidance, direction, and wisdom when we need it. We believe we can do things ourselves. Full of pride, we become greedy, and our pursuit for money and wealth distract us from the things of God, that we become so busy with those things that we have no time for health in our family and in our marriage and in our relationship. We pursue sexual sins, lusts of the world, and these are things that tempt us and keep us from the presence of God. We become envious, jealous, become envious of the things that other people have. We want to keep up with the Joneses. We become covetous to the point where we want to rob and steal and take from others to gratify ourselves. We become filled with gluttony, where our pursuit is about satisfying what's good for the body on the inside, but not feeding what's right for our spirit. We become full of anger and rage. Angry with life, angry at circumstances, angry with the people that have let us down, angry with what we are going through and our seasons, that we become revengeful. The Bible even refers to slothfulness as a sin. Slothfulness is where we have no zeal or desire or passion for life. We get up in the morning, we just want to lay in bed the whole day. We become procrastinators. We don't want to embrace opportunities that come our way. We expect to have breakthrough. We expect to find the job, but we're not willing to update our CV and take it out there. We don't even want to get to the phone or even go online and check for job, but we're waiting for a job. Pastor, I've been waiting for a job for 6 months. What have you been doing? No, just waiting. How can you expect to have something if you don't put yourself out there and try and attempt to do something? It's time we get out of our laziness and our slothfulness and do something. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off for tomorrow what you need to do today. Idleness, that is a sin. We open doors by entertaining the kinds of music that we listen to. Music that does not glorify God. Music that we allow our children to listen to. What are we allowing into our homes? The kinds of movies that we watch. Maybe entertainment and forms of lifestyle that does not glorify God but glorifies the enemy. Kinds of conversations we entertain. We open doors when we hold hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart. Become revengeful. Have thoughts of evil towards our fellow brothers and sisters. Bitterness. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter number 15. Verse 19 to 20. The Bible says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." And these are the words of Jesus in red. What Jesus is saying is, if you do not wash your hands and you eat food, that does not make you more dirty than a person who has an unclean heart. Because when your heart is unclean, out of that comes all the things that defile the body. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. So what Jesus is saying, everything that we intend to do, whatever manifests in the natural, first takes place inside our hearts, inside our minds. We think it. We confess it. We talk it. We plot it. I like watching these movies, NCIS, and movies about law and all kinds of things. And often they would refer to a person who's been accused of murder, and there would be different options, first degree, second degree, third degree, and then they would have them based on whether it was premeditated or whether it was something that happened by accident or whether it was a moment of rage or anger that happened on the spur of the moment. But premeditated murder refers to when a person had planned and plotted prior to carrying out his act. It's something that they had every intention to do and then ended up fulfilling it. So we must be very careful of what we let happen in our mind. Anything that becomes premeditated, and then as time goes on, Satan plants more seeds to that. And he opens the doors for us to act out on it. So be careful what you entertain in your mind. When we open doors, we allow Satan to have free reign. These are the things which defile a man, the Bible says. Not how we wash our hands and eat our food or anything of that sort, although that's unclean, but it's not as bad as what we perceive, what we think, what we entertain in our hearts and in our minds. Before sin is manifested, it is first conceived in our hearts. Be careful what we entertain here. Always guard your hearts. Always guard your hearts. Always protect your heart, because this is the sensitive part that Satan wants to attack first. If you can attack your heart, he attacks the entire body, attacks your mind, he attacks everything around you. Proverbs chapter number 4, verses 23. I like the way the New Living Translation presents it. It says, guard your heart above all else. And what the writer is saying, above everything that you do, one of the most important things that you need to do as a person is to guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. What we entertain inside of us will determine the kind of life that we live. We often think that we can deceive people with our actions and our behavior, but what's in our heart will one day manifest as the truth. We cannot deceive people by being something that we are not. Your true self will always come through. So guard your heart. Be careful what we entertain. The book of John chapter number 10 verses 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the enemy only has one intent. That is to steal, to kill, and to destroy every plan and purpose that God has for us. He is cunning and conniving. But the Bible says that Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. What are you willing to open your door to? Do you want to open your door to the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy? Or are you willing to open your heart to the Savior who comes to give us life so that we might have it more abundantly? You see, the enemy won't come into our homes unless we allow him in. He can't force his way. God has given us the freedom to choose. The only time he comes in is the day that we open the door. And Jesus also will not come into our lives unless we open our heart's door to him. He's a gentleman. So who do you choose to entertain in your life? When we open doors to sin, we allow Satan to dethrone us and enthrone himself. Like in the story of the three bears, Goldilocks went in and she helped herself. The door was open. She didn't have to force herself through the window. She didn't have to jump through the chimney. She didn't have to break through the door. The door was open. She went in and she helped herself to everything that the bear family had. She ate their food. You see, we sometimes allow Satan to take away the food that God has given to us. This is his food. This is what we need to feed on every day. This is what we need to consume. Read the Word of God. Feed ourselves with it so that we can be well nourished. How does he take this away from us? When he distracts us and keeps us from reading the Word of God. And this is what he did. He went in and he ate their food. He allowed them to be distracted in the forest. Then she went and sat in their chair. And Satan desires to come in. You see, a chair represents a place of authority. It represents a throne. And God has called us to rest there, to be in a place of authority. As priests in our home, speaking to fathers, as men, God has called you to be the priest in your home. Don't ever relinquish your seat of authority to the enemy. It's time we take back what the enemy has stolen. Satan wants to dethrone us so that he can enthrone himself. Goldilocks went and she slept in their bed. A bed in our home is a very personal place. It's in our bedroom. It's in a very intimate space. The fact that she was able to invade their home and take a hold of a place of intimacy. Satan understands that intimacy with God is so vital for our Christian walk that he tries to invade our personal space and keep us from being intimate with the great God. He wants to invade and take away our personal space. Goldilocks felt at home in this home. Satan wants to take over our home and feel at home in our homes. He wants to take away, he wants to destroy, he wants to steal, because that's what's in his nature, to steal, to kill and destroy. And when we open doors, we allow him free reign over our lives. When we open doors, we're giving Satan access to our marriage, to our health, to our finances, to our children, to everything that God gave to us. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, God gave us the keys to our homes. And we have the right to unlock and lock. We have the right to allow whatever in or to allow whatever out. So today it's time that we take a hold of the keys that God has given to us. And we fight and we take back what the devil has stolen from us. Are we ready to fight? Are we ready to take back what the enemy has stolen? Maybe the enemy has robbed us in 2019, but it's time that we embrace 2020, where we give the enemy notice and we tell him that he has no authority in our lives anymore. That seat of authority that was given to us is our rightful seat. It's authority that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. And how do we fight back? Book of James, chapter number 4, verse 7 says, "Humble yourselves." Before we can equip ourselves with what is necessary to fight the enemy, we have to first surrender ourselves to God completely, and we do it through humility. See, humility is the antidote to pride. Pride says, "I do not need God." Pride says, "I can do it on my own." But when we come before God and we say, "God, I'm a sinner. I've failed. I've messed up. I've tried my own way. It hasn't worked. God, my flesh always leans towards doing things that gratify the flesh. Father, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I surrender to you. I come to you in humility." When God sees our humility, he equips us with all that is necessary to fight. So we fight our battles first through humility. Bible says, if you humble yourself before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So before the resisting takes place, there has to be a place of total yielding and humility. We can resist the devil only when we put our faith and trust in God alone. And the Bible says when we do that, he will flee. It doesn't say he'll walk away. It doesn't say that he will pause and consider and think about his decision, but he will run. Amen. So humility is the antidote to the sin of pride. We need to accept that we have sinned. We need to accept that we've made mistakes. We need to accept that we've done it our way and that's failed. We need to seek forgiveness from God and ask God to help us in this journey. Resisting requires fighting back. But how do we fight back? Do we fight back passively? When you confront Satan, do we say to Satan, "Satan, I want to give you notice. You know, you've been in my home for too long and you've messed my family, my marriage. You've robbed me. I've been without. And, you know, could you please take your stuff and go?" Is that how we deal with Satan? No. When you deal with Satan, you deal with him in an aggressive manner. You don't become passive with him. You take the authority, because a person of authority has a voice about them. A person of authority has a stance about them. They're able to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail. You have no place in my home. You have no place with my family. You have robbed me for too long. I'm giving you notice. It's time you get the boot. Get out of my house. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my family. Get out of my finances. Get out of my job. Get out of my personal life. Get out of my health. You do not belong here. God has given me authority over the forces of darkness. He says, I will cast out demons in his name. I will lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I have authority through Christ because I'm seated with him in heavenly places." And that's the way we deal with Satan, with aggression, not passively. We cannot become passive against the enemy. We need to stand our ground this year. We need to stand our ground and take back our seat of authority. We need to show Satan who's the king. Jesus is the king. He is the Lord of our lives. Stop entertaining him. Stop feeding Satan. Stop leaving your door unlocked. Stop dressing the bed for him. Stop laying out food for him. Stop letting him sleep in your bed, sit in your chair. Fight back in prayer. Fight back by the confession of the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Fight back in intercession. Get before the presence of God. Switch your phone off. Stop all your beeping on your phone so that the WhatsApp messages don't distract you. Switch your TV off. Get before the presence of God. Worship him. intercede, fight back with the study of the Word of God, study the Word of God, get an understanding of how our enemy works. You cannot fight an enemy that you don't know. Get to know who your enemy is, but get to know who our God is first. Fight back by pleading the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Jesus didn't shed his blood for nothing. He died on the cross of Calvary. His blood was poured out for every one of us to redeem us, to wipe clean our sins. Every time the enemy comes to judge you, you remind him of the blood of Jesus that has the power to cleanse, to purify, to set free. It is the blood of Jesus that makes us whole. It is the blood of Jesus that has forgiven us, that has redeemed us. Every time Satan tries to tell you that you're a failure, you've amounted to nothing, you'll never succeed, you'll need me to make it in life, you say to him, my God is a good God. Jesus died for me. The blood is sufficient. The blood has been poured out. Plead the blood of Jesus over your marriage. Plead it over your children. Plead it over your health. Plead it over your family. Deuteronomy chapter number 20 verses 1 says, when you go out to battle against your enemies, you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you. Do not be afraid. What the writer is saying, even though everything might seem like it's coming up against you, even though it seems like the odds are against you, even though it seems like there's so much going on and you are this tiny little person facing an army, do not be afraid. Don't allow fear to overtake you. You see, the enemy uses fear to bring you down. He uses fear to intimidate you. But do not be afraid. You know why? Because it says, for the Lord your God is with you. You have God in your camp. He goes before you. If God is for you, who can be against you? You will overcome because he goes before you. With God on your side, you can do great and mighty things. No matter what comes your way, no matter what storms you face, no matter what obstacles come your way, you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus because God is by your side. It is he who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So we fight back with boldness. We fight back with courage. We fight back with confidence. Fear is a liar. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy. Satan is a liar. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He just deceives us by posing as a lion who is roaring out there. But the greatest lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and his name is Jesus. And he has the authority over us and in our lives. Rise up in faith. Put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter number 6 verses 10 to 8 says, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How? And in the power of his might. By putting on the whole armor of God. Not just part of the armor, the whole armor of God. Every part of the armor has been given to us. The day that we made Jesus the Lord of our life, we were equipped with an armor. Some of us have taken that armor and placed it in our drawers. But I'm saying to you, polish it, dust it, and put it on. It's time to get before the Lord. And it's time that we get into battle formation. It's time that we get into a position of fighting and taking back what is rightfully ours. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your children. Fight for your family. Put on the whole armor of God. The Bible says, for we do not wrestle, in verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Our battle is not against our human brothers and sisters. Our battle is not against circumstances and situations. Our battle is against the enemy. It's against the spiritual works of darkness, Satan, principalities and powers. We cannot physically go to gym and pump iron and expect to get nice and strong and then take a spiritual demon on in the physical. It can't happen that way. You can't take a gun to the enemy. You can't take weapons that are natural weapons and go and confront your enemy. You've got to fight in the spirit. The Bible says, acknowledge the fact that you have a full armor. You have been equipped. You've been given what is needed in the spirit to fight your battles. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Unmovable. Stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you have been able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So even though the enemy might attack, and he will attack, and he will throw fiery darts at you, but when you have the shield of faith before you, your faith will quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Amen. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Plead the word of God. Declare the word of God. Confess the word of God. Let it be over you. Let it be over your marriage. Let it be over your family. Let it be over your work environment. Let it be over your health. Declare the word of God every day. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, being watchful. So even though you are praying, be watchful for the devices of Satan. Be very sensitive to the manner in which he deals with things. Be sensitive, be watchful, be a discerner with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Isaiah 59 verses 19 says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." You just change the play of words in the statement. I don't like giving glory to the enemy. I don't believe that the enemy can come in like a flood because he doesn't have that power and that authority. Am I right? If you just take that comma after flood and you move it up a bit and you read it like this, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, you give glory to God. He comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So when we acknowledge the power of a great God, we nullify any antics of Satan. So read it like this. When the enemy comes in, and he will come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Declare that over your life, over your marriage, over your family in 2020. Though the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him.